everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, host of the Lexi Podcast, and I would like to tell you how I came to this episode because I'm not sure you're going to predict how I'm going to feel. I think a lot of you might have an idea if you're a regular listener, if you know me well, on what I probably think about AI and ChatGPT. But how I even came to this episode is because I was not stricken with an idea this week. Typically, I'll record right after I think of an idea, so it doesn't matter if it's first thing in the morning, right before I go to bed, on a weekend, it doesn't matter. When the idea strikes and I have something to say, I want to go ahead and do it now. That being said, time was ticking and I thought, I don't really know what I want to talk about this week. Last week's episode was on decluttering and I really enjoyed it. I could go on about that, and I heavily considered creating a second part to that topic, even though I've already created a second part that existed as a YouTube video, so I'll link that down below if you're interested. And I still think I'm going to make a follow-up video for it because decluttering is a lifelong process, and I think it's a lot more spiritual than maybe anyone would initially consider it to be, but getting to know your belongings and your space and seeing how you can keep your space and why you're holding on to certain items, it involves a good bit of introspection. And I wanted to continue that, but then I figured, let me see what else I could talk about, how interesting getting a dog has been and how it's changed my life. I also was thinking about talking about childbearing age and the concept of if you're not going to conceive a child while being in childbearing age, you know, not that you never will, but I'm a child. I am a child, Freudian slip. I'm childbearing age, but I'm not in a position to have a child right now. So what if I had a brain child? Thought about that. When mental health is low, maybe you're just in your luteal phase, maybe you're on the verge of a meltdown, wanted to talk about where is there even a flicker of life in you today and how to follow that. And then I thought protein, 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 every bitch ever, all they care about is protein. So I thought about making an episode on that. Those were the different things I was throwing at the wall. And then I thought, why don't I go into ChatGPT, say I'm the host of the Lexi Podcast. This is sort of what my episodes are about. Based on this information, what are some episode topics you can think about? And then I thought, that's the episode. I want to talk about ChatGPT. I want to talk about AI, but specifically ChatGPT because that's the one I'm most familiar with. I've also used Entries AI, which is more of a therapy journaling directed or focused AI software. But this is an incredibly interesting new component to our lives, whether we're using it or we're just exposed to it and we're consuming it intentionally or not, on a really regular, if not daily basis. And it's fascinating. And I've begun using it. And you know what? It's been so helpful. Don't think the monsters got me. Don't think that they put the worm in my brain and I'm all there. Don't think that this is the beginning. We have already gone through the beginning. Do you have an Aura ring? Do you have an Apple Watch? I mean, let's talk about that. We're already involved. So this is just seeming more alarming because it connects through conversation. You can speak to it, and the only other thing that we can speak to is each other. We've been speaking to it for decades, okay? This is just a different format. But with that all being said, I was 1000% hesitant. And obviously, it's still the beginning of AI, but I would consider myself a later adopter of it. Because I had friends using it, and I'm like, I don't know, it seems kind of freaky, not my vibe. But then I realized it's so much better than a search engine. Yesterday, I had all of this mint left over from a party I had thrown. I was making a cocktail, and there was so much mint. So instead of Googling things to do with mint, I told ChatGPT, I said, I have so much mint left over. What are ways I can use it? It gave me beverages, meal ideas, desserts, handy. Very handy. I'm like, Yahoo could never. This is amazing. Before I get into more of it, let me give examples of what I use it for, what it's actually good at and what it's not. So I was at a party this weekend and ChatGPT came into conversation, like not as a concept, but people saying, oh, I was crashing out over this boy. So I started asking ChatGPT. I was like, whoa, I've never thought to do that. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, if I don't know what to say to a guy, I'll just talk to ChatGPT about it. And then they'll say, wow, girl, you are so insightful. Meanwhile, she's like, I'm completely, crashing out, but it flatters me. And then I had another friend that said they use it for beauty routines. They're like, you can add photos of yourself into it and it can tell you the best hairstyle, hair color, skincare routine. I guess she sent in a photo of her products that she uses for her skincare routine and asked, how is this? Is this a good lineup? Had never thought to do that. Another friend of mine puts photos of her dog in it and then gets other options of photos of her dog. Once again, hadn't thought to do it. The first time I ever used it, a friend was over at my house and she, my roommate, and I had it give us lines. So we said we want to record, I don't know, I guess we're playing around with acting or something, like role play, not sexually, just playfully. And we're like, give us a story of three girls in high school or something stupid. I don't know. And we did like a few of those. And that was the first and only time I'd ever used it. Months had passed. This was probably last summer, I would say. Then a few months passed and I found myself on the entrepreneurial business algorithm of Instagram. And a lot of those, they're my least favorite type of content. You know, the reels that are maybe 2 or 3 seconds long. They're like things that I talk to ChatGPT about that have changed my life. And you're expecting it to be in the video. And then you have to read through the caption while the video plays in the background. It's hard to read and it's annoying. And it's, I hate it. I hate it. But I started to get those. So I would save them to maybe go back later, which is a whole different topic. I would love to either go on my YouTube channel or my Patreon and just run through all of my saved content, because when something seems like it involves focus or a little bit more attention, I'll save it for later. And then Lord knows I'm never going back into my saves. Oh, that recipe I wanted to make, don't know where it is. Don't remember if it was on TikTok, if it was on Instagram. Anyway, so I was getting these ChatGPT prompts and I used some of them a little bit. And the first prompt I ever used on my own was to develop a schedule. I have always believed for a long time, I'm not great with planning or scheduling. And I would love to have a content schedule. I would love to have a breakdown of what I should do in the morning, afternoon, or evening, or based on the week. Now, did I follow this schedule? Absolutely not, because that is not how I work. But it was interesting nonetheless to go into ChatGPT and say, I am the host of a self-discovery podcast. I also have a YouTube channel in which I give advice, but also share vlogs. I have an Instagram and a TikTok that are more personal accounts. My interests are X, Y, and Z. Could you come up with a weekly schedule for me? And it broke it down in a chart, really helpful. Another thing I tried using it for was, these are the things I want to say in an email. Can you present it in a way that's concise, clear, whatever tone? If you want to have a friendly tone or if you want to have a professional tone, you can add that to it. And I started getting more comfortable with it. And I found it to be really helpful and really interesting. And the memory aspect of it is incredibly fascinating to me, where now it kind of knows what my goals are, what I'm interested in a business way. And it has little saved overviews. I guess for my financial freedom podcast, I thought when it's just a stream of consciousness episode, I'm good to go. But when I was giving financial advice, because I stand by this, I really think financial freedom is the only freedom. Get yourself financial freedom. You don't need to be the richest person in the whole world, but if you have financial freedom, you are free. You are free. And I have a tendency to ramble and I'll go off on a tangent. I'll circle my way back, but for a more teachable episode, I wanted it to be logical. And that's something that I struggle with. Hey, Chad, I've recorded a podcast about financial freedom, financial independence as a young person, more specifically a female, making money on social media, being a full-time influencer, working with a financial advisor, and my techniques to save money. Could you help me come up with a compelling SEO-friendly title and description for YouTube? Now, one thing I will say, since using it a lot more regularly, is now I understand the sort of voice of ChatGPT and things to look out for. So now when I get emails, I'm like, oh, you use chat to write this. I can tell because it loves a long dash for whatever fucking reason. And anytime I see one, I'm like, oh, yep, chat. Or the emojis. It loves to give emojis and they're dumb emojis too. So I think it's also interesting to use something enough to be familiar when someone else is using it. Of course, there's major downsides, like people using it in exchange for personal relationships. That's scary. But at the same time, hear me out. If someone needs to talk and they're not good at talking to people, a lot of times they weren't talking before. You know, think in the 80s, the 90s, before the internet was really a thing and therapy was obviously taboo. A lot of those people would just internalize. It's not like they had an outlet anyway. If they weren't talking, they weren't talking. The people that want therapy will probably go to therapy. Now, I will say it's a lot more affordable. I haven't really done the whole therapy thing. I tried AI. Now, that being said, it's a lot more affordable than therapy. Of course, you're not speaking with a professional who has a degree and years of experience. But I did try Entries AI, which is a therapy-focused site. And I found that to be good for times when I would just call up my therapist for a quick little, can we work through something? I actually found it to be really helpful. And I'm someone that has been in therapy for years and years and years. So that I found to be surprising because at least Entries AI, the way that I've experienced it, now I probably used it maybe 4 or 5 times at this point, I found it to just keep furthering with questions. I could say, like, I'm so burnt out. I have lovely friends that are surrounding me. I have a beautiful home. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I have time. I have money. Why do I feel so exhausted? And it would say, like, oh, that, you know, thanks for recognizing your gratitude. Totally understand how you feel. It always reaffirms you, compliments you, and then pushes you to think. And I found that to be helpful because that's sort of what therapists do. And then I came to my own conclusions. Is it a replacement? No, I'm not going to go out and say that. But was it helpful? Yeah, I'll say that. Now, things it's not good at. I had heard you could go in and ask for astrology. I gave it my birthday and my birth time. It got so many of my planets and signs wrong. It told me I was a different moon sign, a different rising sign. It was incorrect. So it's not completely accurate. And I take that. I take anything it says with a grain of salt. That's why I find it to be helpful for almost as if it's an elevated search engine, you know? You have to think of the internet as a whole. It's not completely accurate. And this is the same way. But if I was Googling things to do with Mint, it would not be nearly as clear and concise as ChatGPT. But it's also not that creative, in my personal opinion. Anytime I've ever asked chat for ideas, it's so corny. It's incredibly corny. I like to title my podcast episodes sort of, I mean, my favorite podcast episodes, not everyone, but I like to think of them as if they're the title of a chapter in my memoir. I am obsessed with the title episode of Should I Shave My Legs for My Mom's Funeral? I think that's perfect. I love it. But like, let me type in, I'm going to create a podcast episode on ChatGPT. And what I'm thinking I'll title it, who knows what I'll end up, but I think I'm just going to title it What I Think About ChatGPT or What I Think About AI. Okay, this is what chat came up with. Title ideas with the disco emoji. 1, I talk to robots now. 2, ChatGPT knows me better than my ex. Me versus the machine, parentheses, or my life with ChatGPT. AI is my therapist, manager, and bestie. This episode was co-written by ChatGPT. That's kind of interesting. I like that one. 6, when the chatbot gets a little too real. 7, the soft life, but with a supercomputer. So dumb. I do think there's something interesting about this episode was co-written by ChatGPT almost as an experiment, which I kind of like that just as a separate idea. I don't think this episode would fit the bill, but interesting nonetheless. So creativity, I don't think it's its strong suit yet. I think there would have to be a lot of training that goes into it because my friend's boss uses this all the time, whereas her best friend doesn't. And the way that the chat is between both of them and their ChatGPTs, does that make sense? Did I get off on a tangent? Person 1 uses ChatGPT all the time. Her best friend, person 2, hardly ever uses it. So person 2, her ChatGPT sounds like a robot, whereas person 1, who's using it really frequently, is so attuned to her that they chat completely different. The conversation, the verbiage, it's all very, very different, which I find interesting, or you can sort of train it. Now, is this taking away jobs? Maybe. Is this bad for the environment? Sure. Is this going to lead to more loneliness? Probably. I do not know. I think you need to set yourself some boundaries with it. I don't think you should rely so heavily on this because you do have your own brain. You do have your own resources. You do have your own community, and it's important. Having a community and having your own critical thinking skills and support from yourself and others is essential. Now, is this a tool? Yeah, and I kind of like it. I find it to be really helpful, but I don't think I'm going overboard with it. And I can't say that for everyone. I think you have to use your own best judgment. I did see on TikTok or Instagram, someone was like, Jesus Christ. Maybe it was on Twitter. Someone who was on the train, and they zoomed up on someone talking with their ChatGPT, and he was like, oh, I love you. Like, let me read it. I'm like, get a grip. At this point, it's Darwinism. Like, if you're going to lose yourself to AI, we are going to lose you to something else anyway. Damn it, I hate when I don't save things. That's so annoying. But he was talking romantically. They were having a little chat, and she's like, I'm so sorry you had a rough day, honey. Like, why don't you draw a hot bath and we'll talk later? Like, good God. Like, okay. I also saw an interesting take on the environmental aspects, because I'm sure that you've started to see that it requires a lot of energy to power these tools. And I feel it's a little propaganda-y to put it on the individual. It feels slimy. I'm like, okay, you're going to provide us with the softwares, but then you're going to blame us for using them. Also, it's very reminiscent to me of my vegan days, where I thought I'm going to save the environment by going vegan, because animal agriculture is one of the leading causes of carbon dioxide being put in the air. And I want to, you know, single-handedly fix Los Angeles's drought was my personal goal. I was like, I'm going to fix the drought. That being said, you don't want to go to Tyson or who's another like chicken tender brand or like dairy. You're going to get upset with me for getting half and half in my coffee when there's bigger fish to fry. That's how it feels. You know, there are people that are wasting so much energy. We're talking fossil fuels, and you're going to be upset with me for asking for 10 title ideas for a podcast. It's just, I don't know. I don't like the way that it sounds, and I don't like being blamed for it. It makes me a little defensive, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I'm thinking like, okay, well then doesn't it require a ton of energy to use Google, to use Yahoo, AOL? All right, why don't you shut down one of those? Huh? Let's talk there. Let's start there. Just my two cents. Overall, before I get into the Q&A portion of this episode, do I trust AI? No. Am I going to benefit from it? Yes. What is the line between resource and crutch? That, I think, is at your own discretion. If you can't write a single email yourself, that's a crutch. If you can't come up with a single idea yourself, that's a crutch. If you know your strengths and know your weaknesses and you create a dialogue about that and you say, is there any way you could help? That's a tool. You say, I really am great at brainstorming ideas, but I have no idea how to speak in SEO. Can you help me? Something like that. Or I feel like this email is not in a logical order. Could you reorder it in a way that makes the most sense? That's a tool. Would I date someone who uses AI all day long? Is this the future? Yeah. A friend recently said to me, because she is the epitome of someone who I would think would be completely anti-AI. I think that she'd be like, doesn't feel right in my bones, intuition is firing in all cylinders saying no, 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 no. That's what I would have guessed. She said, the only people that are going to lose jobs are the people that don't know how to use it as well as you. I was like, interesting. Okay. You're surprising me with this piece of information. I'm curious to see where it will go. I'm really sticking with my Darwinism theory. Like, if you're going to use it as a crutch, you're only hurting yourself. I think ultimately when using any sort of assistance, is it bringing you closer to yourself? Then you're probably doing fine. Is it bringing you farther away from yourself? Maybe not so good, and you should reevaluate. Also, I saw some weird, I forget what it was. I wish it would come to me. I don't know if it was a song or photography or some sort of art. But I'm like, something feels really off about this. I don't know what it is. And then I saw that it was AI. So I do feel like on some intrinsic level, we're able to identify when something isn't made by human. I am interested to see how AI plays in the art world because art is such a form of creative expression. But then, you know, you could really argue it. I'm thinking back to my friend's boss who makes furniture. She uses AI to come up with the models, but like the ideas are all in her own brain. So is that not real? Is that intrinsically bad? No, I think that she's using this as a tool to be closer to herself. She has a vision in her head, doesn't know how to create the proportions or whatever she uses it for. I don't think that's bad. I think you have to use your own discretion and listen to yourself with these sort of things. But ultimately, I'm kind of into it. I'm pretty intrigued. I like it. I'm curious. I don't trust it fully. As I said, there's a lot of inaccuracy in it. It's not super creative. Its point of view is as limited as we have access to on the internet because that's where it's pulling things from. It doesn't have life experiences. The only experiences it has are things that other humans have told it. So I think that's something that remains in the back of my mind. And someone who relies on it too fully is kind of, it's icky, you know? I'm like, ooh, that's embarrassing. That's how I feel. So curious what you guys think. Honestly, gonna open up this discussion on Instagram to ask, what are your thoughts on AI, but specifically ChatGPT, because that's what I have experience in. It's fascinating. What a weird time to be alive. We're really merging. Because as I said, you know, you think this is the start? Oh, honey. We are already knee deep. Okay, and on that note, let's get into your questions, which aren't necessarily chat related. So if you're only interested in the ChatGPT questions, you can just sign off here. But you know what? I kind of want to go into a little bit more detail on the Patreon. So every single week, I do ad-free extended episodes on Patreon. So if you're listening on there, you won't hear the sponsors and you can hear sort of like my more controversial thoughts. But if you're just here on Spotify, Apple, we're going to get into the questions. Just first, a word from today's sponsors. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It could be my hormones at play. And I know firsthand how much stress can mess with hormones. Between work and life and travel, it's easy to feel a little out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system, helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, more. So it doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with the stress hormones such as cortisol. Small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Are you ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Lexi. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. Oh guys, I'm really excited for this sponsor of the show. It's Washington Red Raspberries. It's easy to feel disconnected from where our food comes from these days. You're getting an ingredient at the store and you don't know if it's from your neighborhood, if it's from a different state, if it's from a different country. I have recently learned that 90% of American-grown frozen red raspberries come from a community of farmers in Washington state. They're grown by multi-generational family farmers who take pride in every berry. I have a bag in my freezer right now and I've been adding them on top of my yogurt with my pumpkin seeds, and they're just fresh and they're juicy and they're full of flavor. And when they start to defrost a little bit and get jammed, they're delicious. They're grown in nutrient-rich soil, and then they're frozen at peak ripeness. So then when you get them, they're peak ripe. They're also featured in popular products like Smucker's Uncrustables with the red raspberry filling, as well as Smucker's Raspberry Jam. You can find frozen Washington red raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery stores like Kroger, Winco. Check the label for American-grown frozen raspberries. Look for product of the U.S. on the back. If you want to learn more about the farmers behind these incredible berries and more details on where you can buy them, visit redraz.org. That's redraz.org. And you'll find farmers' stories, recipes, and retailers who carry these delicious berries and all the reasons to choose red raspberries grown right here in the U.S. Little Dipper asks, Lexi Lombard Summer. Now, if you've been listening since last year, I recorded an episode called The Lexi Lombard Summer. I'm a summer girl. I'm a spring girl. I love it so much. I cannot get enough. When it's spring, I spring. And when it's fall, I fall. Okay? So this is my time of year. I love May, June, July. I was going to say April. I like April. I love May. I love June. Those are my favorite months. May, June, and September. August, I tend to get the blues. This is all not what you're asking. You're asking the Lexi Lombard summer. Last year, if I remember correctly, it was beach, pool, another pool, another beach, hike, road trip, pool, pool, hotel, beach, road trip, pool, you know, etc. You understand the point. Still that. However, less white people parties. White people just don't know how to party the way that everybody else does. We don't dance. And it's so infuriating because you know what the most fun part about a party is? Dancing. I love a dance party. And it took, you know what? A couple things led me to this. One, I was taking Spoon on an early morning walk and there was this great song playing from this construction zone. And I passed by and I'm like, God, this is such a bop. And the guys were jamming out to it too. And I kept passing it and thinking, I want to know what the song is. I could Shazam it, but like my phone's not out. It's in my bag. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I turn around. Hi, what song is this? I think it was something like Fuego and Cafe, something like that. Famous song. But then I started listening to other songs and it's all on this album called Mexican Garage Rock 1966. And I love it. And later that week, a friend of mine, she was at her grandma's or her godmother, something of the sort. And everyone was dancing. And it was past 1 a.m. And she's like, come over for dinner. It'll be really short. I'm like, God, my family could never. I've never been like tangoing with my uncles and my grandpa and my dad. Like, we wouldn't even know what to do. And I want to know what to do. And then another friend of mine was at a work event and then on her close friends was like, this is where the real party is. Like, this is what was actually going on at the event. And everyone is breaking it down, dancing. Not a white person in sight for either of these. And that's what I want for my summer. I'm like, take me to the dance parties. Enough with the white people party. We're not dancing. The only thing white people really know how to do as a culture, I'm like, sure, their parties, they know how to drink, maybe do some drugs, but do they have fun the way that everybody else does? I'm not so sure. I truly am not so sure. Take me to the dance parties. I want to dance this summer. I also want to be going to more waterfalls. Monday was the best Monday of my life. I had so much fun. The sun was out. I had woken up early. Spoon was in a great mood. I was in a great mood. Had done my work. I had finished everything. Like, I really got into the zone and did everything that I needed to do. And I was going to go to a workout class at 12:30 and ended up not. Then I get a text from my friends and they said, we're going on a hike. Do you want to come? Asked no questions. Fully assumed that it was going to be a hike 10 minutes away because we live by so many parks with so many hikes that are decent. 45 minutes away. 3 mile hike there. 3 mile hike back. Waterfall. Sensational. Probably took us maybe 4 hours or so. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. It was just great for everyone. I mean, actually, I don't know about my friends. One of them doesn't really like the outdoors the way that I do. But Spoon and I had the time of our life, okay? Spoon also, as a side note, went on his first group dog walk today. There's a dog walker in the neighborhood just a few streets down, and he's one of those guys that will be walking 10 dogs at one time. So I really want to get in with him. I want him to get to know Spoon, so that way if I ever need to board him, Spoon's very familiar and there's other dogs there. So we tested out a walk today. I get a photo. Oh my God, he has like 9 dogs all on a bench, all sitting. Smiling for the photo. I'm so confused how that happened. Talk about thinking it was AI. I'm like, how did you do this? How did you get all the dogs to sit? I guess the answer is peer pressure. You know, dogs are like humans in that way. Everybody's sitting for a photo and you're not. Get it together. But anyway, Spoon is exhausted. He's been asleep since he got back, but they went on a long walk. I dropped him off at 8 this morning and picked him up at maybe 12:30. So he's zonked. Great though. But Monday was sensational. Went to a waterfall, was outside, that was one of my favorite days last year. A friend that I had made rock climbing, her cousin and I, we went on a 12-mile hike. It took us half the day, but that was by far one of my favorite days of the year. It's so nice to be outside for a majority of the day. That is when I feel my best. So more of that, more dancing. I'm also really on my body grind. I want to look sexy. I'm strong and I'm only getting stronger. I've really been good with my workout classes. And then after getting Spoon and the weather getting nice and the days getting longer, it's all encouraged more time outside and more walking. And then by that, I feel like I'm really trimming down and I just feel really good. So I love that. But yeah, dancing, swimming, outside, being in a bikini as often as possible. You know what I haven't felt like doing? Going out at night. It's so hard to get me out of the house at night. All of my best times in the recent season have been during the day. I like lose steam. I think it's because I'm enjoying waking up early and I have to be in bed. Like the most I'll do is get dinner with you, but it's been hard. I missed not one, but two parties this week because I couldn't do it. Like I tried. I was like, you don't even need to get dressed in any real way. You can go real casual. I'll allow you to leave the house in a hoodie. You could do like baggy shirt, baggy pants, little kitten heels. Then it'll look like you did something. You know, you could do a slick back bun. Very low effort. Still couldn't make it out. Granted, these parties were on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, but I feel guilty. It was a friend's album release party and then another friend's birthday. Thankfully, it seems like people in LA like to celebrate their birthdays 9 times. So I get to celebrate my friend's birthday again at her second party tonight. So that'll be good. But it's been really hard to get me out of the house. So normally I love a summer night. I have not been experiencing them. I've been having a summer evening, but I have not been having summer nights. I can't be fucked. I just can't be. And I'm trying to be, but I can't be right now. Julia asked, if Spoon wasn't named Spoon, what would you have named him? Spoon is Spoon. We went through a million names though. His name was Red, his name was Blue, his name was Milk, his name was Fang, his name was Mr. Big, his name was Grandpa, but Spoon was the only one that really stuck. Mr. Big, Tyra really pushed for, but I didn't actually know how big he was going to get, and it was only cute to call him Mr. Big when he was really, really, really tiny. And now he's not really, really, really tiny. He's just a small dog, and I don't think it would have had the same charm. So Spoon it is. And his name is Spoon because he likes to be the little spoon. Oh, Dana asked, what are Spoon's favorite words for you to say to him? He loves the word breakfast. He loves the word dinner. Loves the word peanut butter. Walk, park, adventure, and bed. You know, he's only 7 months old, maybe 8 now. So his favorite words are very much part of the routine. And I know he's exhausted because I just said all of his favorite words and he slept through all of them, which normally he would not have. Quinn said, I'll never forget when you suntanned while you waited for your car to be towed. I had car troubles recently and thought to myself, what would Lexi do to make this cute and fun? Thanks for being the ultimate girl's girl. I don't know if that makes you the ultimate girl's girl, but let me tell you, if I am going to have to use my time, I am going to have fun if I can. To give some reference, I got a flat tire, my battery died, something like that, and I had to wait for AAA to come, and I had to stay by my car. I had a bathing suit, and I had a towel, so what did I do? I laid out in my tan, and I made the most of it. I made the most of it, and I highly recommend, you know, when in doubt, if it's not the most fun situation, what can you do to make it slightly more fun? So I'm glad I could help you make it cute. I think this is also by someone named Dana, but I'm not sure. Travel recommendations to make it less stressful. Pack lighter because I'm sure a lot of you overpack. And I just travel so much that I've gotten to the point that I know what I need and I'm not too much of an overpacker. As an extension of this piece of advice, I would also say do not feel like you have to be on a runway stunting your most fashionable self when you travel. Because a lot of times when you're packing for a trip, you're like, let me bring this fun hat and then maybe this hat too and maybe this like fun little beaded scarf and maybe I'll bring all these bracelets and I'll be like a new version of myself. You want to be comfortable because you're away from home, okay? A lot of you, if it's not innate and you don't find yourself doing it, you know, you pack those things and you don't use it, don't pack them. If anything, give yourself the opportunity to go check out some of the shops when you are traveling. And that's really fun. You know, you're like, wait, I don't really have a dress for this occasion. Perfect excuse to go to one of the vintage shops when you're in Paris or when you're on a tropical island or wherever you're traveling, maybe a thrift store in Bozeman, Montana, Lord only knows. Like, it's fun to see the items of the place that you're staying at. Some of my favorite pieces are things that I've found at vintage, thrift, boutiques, or one-of-a-kind stores to wherever I'm visiting. Other ways to make travel less stressful. If you can, just buy the ticket and make it flexible, okay? Don't use some third-party bargain site, because if your flight gets delayed, your flight gets canceled, something happens with your schedule and you can't make it to your flight anymore, it's hard to get that sorted out. Bite the bullet, pay the extra $100 or whatever. If you're going on some big vacation, just get the flexible ticket. It gives so much peace of mind because you really just never know, and you want to be able to just call the basic number and have them have your information right there instead of, you know, calling Delta and they're like, well, actually, you bought this ticket through cheap flights that you've ever seen in your whole life.com, and you're gonna actually have to call them, and then you call them and no one answers. You email them, no one answers. That would be a way to make it less stressful. Any obligations to have sort of figured out before you leave. So if you have a pet, to make sure that someone can watch them, have your neighbors get your mail, all of those things, just for peace of mind. And then tap in to whatever the vacation has in store. For example, you get there, you don't have service, you don't have Wi-Fi. Say, okay, this is what is in store for me. People did it for so many years. I can do it now. It's fine. I'm on vacation. If you have a work email, say that you're out of our office. You're going to be hard to be reached. But my main points to make it less stressful is to not overpack, to not bring all of these unnecessary things for this new personality you think that's going to bloom when you get on a trip. And then 3, buy the ticket on the normal airline. Not for anyone eeks. Ask, do you have a boyfriend? I do not have a boyfriend. L324563 asks how to not take everything personally. This is just an ebb and flow of where you are with your self-esteem. Like, if I'm in a highly confident point in my life, I never take things personally. And if I do, it's probably because they were personal. And that's only one time out of 10. You know, it's very infrequent that anything really is personal. Maybe not even one time out of 10. I would say like 2% of the time. When I'm in an insecure spot, when I do not feel secure in myself, I do not feel self-assured. Oh, everything is personal because I don't like myself. So why would anyone else like me? I hate myself. So obviously it would make sense for them to hate me too. I'm feeling bad about myself. So obviously someone's going to be thinking badly, doing badly towards me. Oh, this makes sense because I'm the worst, you know? So how to not take everything so personally? Work on your self-esteem, work on your self-assurance, work on your self-confidence. I'm Rosemarie asked, propaganda you're not falling for. That ChatGPT is the worst thing for the environment. That feels a little bit like propaganda. I'm sure it's not good for the environment. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, let's look at who's talking about it. Let's look who would benefit from us not using ChatGPT, okay? There's a lot of big players in the game that are threatened by it. And to put the blame on the individual feels a little bit, like, suspicious to me. Other propaganda I'm not falling for. White people parties. A lot of them are very boring. A lot of them aren't, but a lot of them are. Any music propaganda I'm not falling for? Just, you know what I mean? I can't think of a specific song, but there's definitely some certain artists or albums or songs that everyone likes. And you're like, I just don't think this is really a banger the way that everyone else does. I'm not falling for it, but I can't think of one right now. Propaganda I'm not falling for. Well, just in case type items, you know? I can't get rid of these resistant bands even though I already have some that I like better, because what if my resistant bands break and I need a backup? Or what if a friend needs them? Okay, then ask a friend now or donate them, okay? You don't need it just in case. I made a YouTube video that I'm gonna link down below. I love it. I would watch it myself. I think if I ever get through a time where I need a little bit of decluttering motivation, I'm gonna go watch my own video. And I wanna make another one, but I might sit down after this and make another part, because I really think decluttering is such an interesting topic because it's quite profound. I'm not kidding. I really think it is because we're constantly focusing on new things. Production speed is increasing rapidly. Trend cycles have never been faster. Consumption's at an all-time high, and the lifespan of our items is decreasing. Therefore, to look through your items, pare it down to what you really like, I think you ultimately end up becoming a much more conscious consumer. And that's not to say that I'm perfect. I'm still going to shop and I'm still going to buy things that maybe aren't the most ethical, because ultimately there's so many, I don't want to even say temptations because that's not fair, but as soon as you think you're doing something good, you find out a reason it's not good, you know? And you can't let good be the enemy of the perfect. Like, I think trying is important, but it's interesting when actually decluttering to look around and you're left with only the items you actually care about. And that feels so good. So propaganda I'm not falling for is that I'm going to need this item later if I don't like it now. Or keeping a gift or something that reminds you of someone or a memory just because it's a memory. That's not a good enough reason to keep it. It's not. I'm becoming less sentimental about my physical belongings by the day. And it feels so good. So much propaganda to not fall for. But you know what? I'm probably falling for so much of it. I don't even know. Janica asked how to use your delusion to get over your insecurities. Delusion helps with dreams, I think. You know, you can be delusionally confident. I hear that. But that's from me going from 0 to 10 to 100. I have a hard time using delusion to get from negative 100 to 0. To go from negative 100 to 0, to go from really insecure to just neutral, I have to use logic and rationality. Am I actually really ugly, or is that kind of self-indulgent of me? And I'm probably like a kind of average person. Is my skin really that bad? Is it like, are these two pimples really worth using all of my energy to focus on? Or is two pimples nothing in the grand scheme of things and I can keep it pushing? Am I actually the stupidest person? Am I actually the meanest person? Am I really such a bitch? Am I really such a dumb bitch? Am I really such a whatever? Or am I probably somewhere in the middle? I tend to write down if I'm feeling irrationally insecure and it's like, aw, honey, you really let your mind wander. You're really letting your imagination go wild with these insecurities, because I almost feel like insecurities can be, if extreme, just as delusional as these confident fallacies, you know? So I use logic to help with insecurities, and I use delusion to increase my confidence. All right, y'all, that's the last question I'm going to answer. Unless you are on the Patreon, then I do want to tell you a little. There's like a boy story that I want to share a little bit, because it doesn't require, I don't know. And then also, I posted a TikTok video referencing an old relationship that I just want to contemplate. So if that's of your interest, I'll be discussing that on the Patreon. If you're already listening, we'll get into it in a second. For everyone else, I would say go watch my decluttering video on YouTube or the Australia vlogs, because they're fabulous and so fun. I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube, and I will be on the podcast next week. So I will talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening. XOXO, Lexi.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.